Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
Good, man. Good. It was a long Wednesday, though. Long Wednesday. For whatever reason, this hump day was
not so humpy.
Not so humpy, or a long hump. Big hump. That's what it was.
Okay. Before we talk more about humping, we should remind everybody that we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Be sure to check them out. Matt, how's your week? How's your week going? I want to know.
Dude, we're moving still. Not moving in, but like we bought the house. We're doing all these updates.
The longest move ever.
I swear to you it is. It seems like every week something gets pushed back and another thing gets pushed back. And it's just been the upstairs is done. The basement is done. The main level is the last thing we're doing. And flooring got pushed back a week. Then we had to drywall the ceiling, and now we're going to have to paint the ceiling, and it's just been a long week. But my kid's story for the week, last week, there was a day at my daughter's school where it was like, for the kindergartners, it was like farmer day, dressed up like a farmer, and yeah, like plaid and pigtails, and yeah, it was a weird, so that was like our first theme day. For the school.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about those. But they did like an apple. They did a bunch of stuff with apples. They painted with apples. They made apple towers. And so we got this email from the teacher about our daughter and just how, you know, she's really encouraging and she was great to have and she helped so many different people. And it was like that was our first like good email home from the teacher. I'm sure it was just a stock thing, but it was good. It's cool to kind of be in that dad with a kid at school kind of experiences.
Oh, is that's your first?
Yeah, she's the only one we got in school.
Oh man, seems like all your kids are older.
No, weird. Not yet.
Okay.
So we haven't had the bad email home from about a kid. I think
they're coming.
I think it's coming next year. I don't think it'll happen this year, but my middle daughter. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's coming
for sure.
So yeah. So it was, I mean, nothing crazy. I mean, she was a good kid. She helped others out in her apple stacking competition, but whatever.
Apple stacking sounds like a really fun, like bar game.
Yeah. Like rocks, like stacking rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they used to, like the old Vikings used to do. Stack rocks.
They didn't have internet.
Nope, had to keep busy. And now look at us civilized folk stacking apples.
What do you got?
I guess we could go with we'll just do a sports update. So yeah. Carly woke up Saturday morning for her game, which my wife is the coach of her soccer team.
Oh, I was like, gymnastics has games?
No. So we have, she's in soccer, she's in gymnastics, and she's in dance. Before anybody tweets at us, dance is once a week, gymnastics is once a week, soccer is once a week. So it's not like we're spreading her too thin. But anyways, she wakes up Saturday morning and just has an absolute meltdown because she doesn't want to play soccer. Just won't play. We have like three games left. And again, the wife is the coach.
So she can't quit.
Yeah. So she's like, she's screaming. She's crying. She's just having, you know how 2-year-olds are.
Or I do. Not
two, you know how 4-year-olds are.
I know how they are too.
So she's just freaking out. So we just give up. Or so whatever.
Just forfeited the game?
Well, we just decided, okay, we're not going to force her. We're not going to like get her all dressed up, put her in cleats, put her in her shin guards. Take her to the game and like make her sit there, you know what I mean? And like freak out, try to get her to play. Like that's stupid, but yeah. She has to go anyways. So we just got her dressed. We're like, okay, fine. You get to watch all the other kids play. We thought that would work. No, she was perfectly fine.
She was content. Yeah, I'm good.
She was so happy sitting on the sideline, watching her mom coach and all the other kids play. She thought that was just the coolest thing. And we're like, well, shit.
Sweet.
So we don't know what we're going to do Saturday. Well, actually, we do. Carson, his first playoff game is actually Saturday. It's the same time as Carly's soccer game. So Emily's just going to miss it completely. Just have one of the other parents coach.
Are they undefeated? The football team?
Yep. They're undefeated. They've put up over 40 points every game. Most of the games have been shutouts or only allowing one score. They're fifth and sixth grades.
Fifth and sixth grade. So they don't let like eighth graders play for them.
No. Nobody older than sixth grade is on this team. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this team where they have one kid that's bigger than everybody else. He's the star of the team. Everyone thinks that he's older than sixth grade, but that's not.
He's got their back.
Yep. Who's got your back? I've got your back. So yeah, that's the stories surrounding the Williams and the Renshaw households.
Are the playoffs, like, these are all teams they've already played? I can't imagine the league.
Well, no, because they I don't know how it's going to work, to be honest with you. I just found out that Saturday is their playoff game. So I'm kind of like out of the loop on it. It seems like it's a lot of fly by the seat of your pants kind of deal. So, but they're going to win. They always do. So we're going to have that Saturday. And then we just found out there's actually a tournament about 3 hours away from here that's going to take all weekend. And it's on Halloween weekend.
Nice. Hey, I'm going to come play left tackle that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it, but it should be fun when it's all said and done. But
where's that? Kansas City?
No, it's the other way.
Oh.
But yeah, we'll be there. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. So, Matt.
News and notes.
News and notes are on the docket for today, and then we are going to jump in and do a little bit of an update on our hot takes for the year.
Nice.
We're going to do some Renshaw Renegades, and we are going to talk a little DFS football. We're going to get out of here. What do you think?
I love it. Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out where I want to start. I guess we probably should start with the Patriots backfield situation because that's all brand new. We've had some updates to that right before
breaking news. Record.
So Brandon Bolden led the Patriots backfield in snaps last week against the Saints. James White played six snaps before suffering a serious hip injury in New England's Week 3 loss. From there, Bolden, a longtime special teamer, played 46% of the team's offensive snaps, while Damian Harris played just 31%. The Boston Herald's Andrew Callahan probably said Bolden, who had six touches for 22 yards against the Saints, was forced into a prominent role because Harris couldn't be trusted in pass protection once White went down. Harris, per Callahan, has allowed pressure on 28.6% of snaps. He's been engaged in pass protection this year, which is obviously a pretty bad rate. While Harris was never going to see much playing time in negative game script, his pass protection struggles could further erode his playing time. The breaking news portion of this is James White has actually been reported out for the season, according to Adam Scheffler. Sorry. So,
Matt,
where does that leave us? Is Brandon Bolden a fantasy relevant running back right now?
No. I think we're back at, are we avoiding the Patriots backfield? Do you remember when that was a thing? Like, don't mess with any of them because Rex Burkhead could score three touchdowns one week.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what it feels like it's here. I mean, Stevenson could come out of nowhere and lead the backfield one week. Bolden, obviously, this past week. Damian Harris is still there. So it's just like, it's gross. It's a gross situation.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want any of them, to be honest with you. And Belichick's the kind of guy where he's going to continue just to mix them up. I mean, you're really going to get the hot hand.
What if they traded for Marlon Mack?
I'm still not in love with it. I don't think that changes anything for me. It's a complete.
It just makes it even grosser. But it's just like that would be a Patriots thing to do. Is just add more to the more competition to the backfield.
Yeah, I don't really see that happening, but it could. I guess
You think they regret trading Sony?
No, I don't think Sony's that good.
I don't either. No.
I just don't think he has all the tools he need to be an every down back anyways. I think he would just been another name to mix into this group. I mean, maybe you could argue that Sony is a poor man's James White, maybe, and that White might have been a better fit here, but you can't predict the future like that. Done is done, Matt. What's done is done. I will say, however, like if you had to pick one name for the rest of the way, dynasty purpose, it's definitely Harris, right? Like this doesn't really change the rankings too much.
No, I think that's the safe play. I don't think Bolden is even in my top three for that backfield.
You're not rushing to go pick up Bolden on your waiver wire. Me either. No. He's only going to be brought in for like pass protection. That's it.
Yeah,
he might catch a pass or two, you know, but that's really about it. They're going to throw him a bone. He's not going to be fantasy relevant. It's just
I don't see it.
Panthers coach Matt Rhule said that Christian McCaffrey will not be placed on injured reserve. Things could change, but for now, this would seem to indicate that the Panthers expect to have their star running back within 3 weeks, the minimum length of stay on injured reserve. McCaffrey suffered the hamstring injury in Carolina's Thursday win over the Texans. Chuba Hubbard. I don't care. Probably.
Choo-choo.
Chuba Hubbard is the next man up and should see plenty of work until McCaffrey returns. He played 73% of the snaps after McCaffrey went down and saw 14 touches. Royce Freeman will serve as his backup. Matt, it feels like we did this before. It feels like that Mike Davis guy kind of came out of a situation fairly similar here.
He's pretty good running back, Mike Davis.
So, Chuba Hubbard, where are you?
He's obviously the waiver out of the week. It wouldn't shock me if he was a 1 week flash in the pan. Like, I think McCaffrey will be back, 2 weeks? So he misses this week. He comes back next.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I would rather have Royce Freeman.
Well, do we know who the Panthers play this week?
Panthers play the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Defense is better than anticipated.
Their running defense is actually pretty impressive, I think. I'm not interested in that at all. Like that you'd have to be extremely desperate to be starting Hubbard this week. And I can't imagine a scenario where I'm even considering picking up Freeman.
Deep league, maybe.
For what?
What do you mean
you're gonna start Royce Freeman, the running back 2 right now in Carolina?
What if Chuba gets hurt and then you got a RB1?
You got Royce Freeman for a week. Congratulations.
Yeah, for a week, and it was free. It was a waiver ad.
I just think you're gonna have better options. You have to have better options. Most teams have better options. Then Royce Freeman, we've seen Royce Freeman. What are you talking about? It's Royce Freeman.
I don't think there's better options out there on the waivers.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying most teams have him on the roster already. Let's move on. Cooper Kupp caught 9 of 12 targets for 96 yards and 2 tutties in the Rams' week 3 win against the Bucks. Kupp's mind meld with Matthew Stafford continues to pay dividends for the Rams and fantasy managers who drafted Kupp. With Stafford under center for LA, Kupp has emerged as an elite fantasy option who needs to be started in every size league every week.
Of course.
Kupp gashed a banged up Tampa secondary time and time again. Stafford keyed on his slot receiver throughout the game as the Bucs had no answer for the shifty wideout. Kupp has 5 touchdowns on just 25 receptions through 3 games. He is in a tremendous week 4 spot as the Rams take on the high-flying Cardinals. Matt, you and I have long been big Cooper Kupp believers.
Love Cooper Kupp.
Pretty decent.
Love Cooper Kupp and Stafford believers.
Yeah, yeah. We've spent years on the show loving Matthew Stafford. He's been in hot takes time and time again. Finally, he is connected with a good coach on a good offense with a great wide receiver. Well, I guess he had a couple of good wide receivers.
He had Megatron.
And Galladay. Galladay's good. But yeah, so Cooper Kupp. I mean,
I think we all thought Cooper Kupp was going to be good this year, but I don't think we all thought wide receiver one overall.
If he stays healthy, he's going to end the season this way. I mean, that offense is hot, red hot, and it doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
What do you think of Bob Trees?
What?
Robert Woods. What do you think of Robert Woods? Oh,
that's funny. I just don't.
Really?
I never really have.
Oh, I like it.
And yeah, I think Robert Woods has
been doing well too.
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of there, but like, he's not the guy that anybody really wants right now. Everybody wants a little bit of the cup. They want to touch the cup.
How many leagues do you have cup in?
Well, see, I moved a lot. I moved way in the direction of best ball this year, so I don't really know.
Oh, okay.
As far as like dynasty leagues, I'm only in like maybe like five. So, and I don't think I have cup in any of them.
No,
which sucks.
I have cup. I have two wide receivers in a lot of my leagues. One of them is Cooper Kupp, and the other one is Mike Williams.
Yeah.
And both have been off to hot starts. I can't think of a league where I don't have at least one of them.
Well, and Cooper Kupp has had really big stretches in the past before too, but it just seems like eventually the kid gets injured, which is hopefully not the case this year. Hopefully we keep seeing Cooper Kupp continue to hit his stride. Because the Rams need him, quite frankly, just like they need Stafford.
Yeah. They're deep at wide receiver, though. I mean, they got Van Jefferson and Robert Woods and Higbee and
none of those guys.
Sean Jackson.
But none of those guys are near the route runner that Kupp is. Kupp is an elite route runner. That's not something you can just replace. Kupp is a huge, huge part of this offense, obviously.
I don't disagree. I love
Cooper. I just don't think you can replace it with a single player. Unless you get Wes Welker in his prime, maybe.
Amari Cooper?
No, we're talking good wide receivers. ESPN's
Amari Cooper Kupp.
ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that free agent wide receiver Josh Gordon is planning to sign with the Chiefs practice squad. Gordon will work with the practice squad until getting up to speed, so we will likely have to wait a few weeks before seeing the former star return to the field. The 30-year-old receiver, could not believe he's only 30. The 30-year-old receiver most recently played for Seattle in week 15 of the 2019 season. Before joining the Seahawks, Gordon played 6 games for the Patriots, averaging 48 yards per game. While Gordon won't be looking like his 2013 self, his most recent film shows a player who still possesses explosive athleticism. If he can find a consistent role in Kansas City and stay out of trouble, he could become a meaningful part of the Chiefs offense, which has struggled to find.
They don't have a wide receiver too.
Yeah, they have struggled to find receiving production outside of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Josh Gordon. It feels like we've done this.
I love time Josh and time Gordon. And
time. Yeah.
I love Josh Gordon.
The dude has proven to everyone he can't put it all together. When he's successful on the field, he fucks up off the field. He can't do both at the same time.
But Kansas City,
Andy Reid is, he couldn't do it with Belichick. He couldn't do it with Pete Carroll. So maybe Andy Reid has the solution here.
He did it with Belichick.
Not very long.
No, but
no.
I don't know. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Tyreek Hill in check.
For the most part, yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. Winning and scoring touchdowns solves everything in the NFL. We've learned that.
That's right. And Josh Gordon stepping into a place where they don't have a wide receiver too. And sorry for all you Byron Pringle fans.
Josh Gordon is not the alpha here. He won't be anywhere near the alpha.
Doesn't have to be.
No, well. And to us, he doesn't have to be. But maybe to Josh Gordon, he has to be. We'll see.
Oh, you think that's a...
I'm not saying it's not. But Josh Gordon's been like this, you know. Everybody wants Josh Gordon. They keep bringing him back for a reason.
Because he's talented. Yeah. He likes to smoke weed.
Yep. Which isn't a big deal.
He got suspended a year because he smoked weed. And then they changed the policy, but still suspended him. I don't know. I'm rooting for him.
Oh, I'm not rooting for him.
What did he do? Like, what's his biggest transgression? Tyreek Hill, No, thanks. Not a fan. Josh Gordon smoked weed.
I'm just not rooting for him. I feel like it's silly. I feel like it's silly when somebody offers you millions and millions of dollars to piss clean in a cup and run and catch touchdowns, and you still say, nah. Like, I'm just not going to root for you. You made those choices.
Okay.
And I get it. I get it. It's just weed. I'm not against weed. I couldn't care less. I totally get it. It's stupid that it's illegal. But that's your job.
Yeah.
I can't show up to work. I can't show up to a showing drunk. You know what I mean? I'd love to be drinking. And it's legal. I can't show up to a showing that way. You know what I mean? I would lose my job. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But
whatever. Right. That's fair. We're going to talk about moron head coach.
Which one?
The one that can't figure out how to use his first round quarterback.
Matt Nagy.
Moron.
The Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, said he can't definitely say who he'll start at quarterback in week 4 against the Detroit Kittens Lions.
You know who he's starting?
Who?
He's going to start Nick Foles.
I'm not going to lie. I love it.
Gosh, love it. No, you
absolutely
don't.
Absolutely love it. I think Justin Fields is really a great – it could be awesome to watch. But you cannot let Justin Fields come back and take the field after what he did last week. He looked absolutely lost.
How do you not –
one of the worst performances I've seen ever.
They didn't move the pocket. The dude's a mobile quarterback. Move the pocket.
It was terrible.
Call play action. Call rollout. You can do anything.
I'm not
the offensive line can't block anybody.
I know. I'm not hating on Fields, but you cannot, when you're Matt Nagy, you cannot put him back on the field again.
Like, you cannot show up to work, Matt Nagy. You need to go home. You had a week to go, all right, we know what the strengths are. Let's figure this out. Stop.
He's an idiot. Has it been reported that Nick Foles is the starting quarterback?
No, it's just what I think.
I was going to say, because the article that I have here says that Nick Foles is apparently in the running to start against the Lions. Coming off of a catastrophic offensive performance against the Browns, Nagy appears out of answers for how to handle the QB spot. The Bears maddeningly failed to use Fields' mobility in Chicago's blowout week 3 loss. Fields took 9 sacks and rushed just 3 times.
He's an idiot.
Imagine being sacked 9 times and only like running away from it 3 times.
He tried to run away from it. It's the Browns pressure, defensive line.
The pressure had to be crazy.
Here, I want to throw out a dad stat.
Cool.
Okay. There is one. I can't believe we didn't lead with this story, but Justin Tucker kicked a 66-yard field goal and had more offensive yards than the freaking Bears offense did with Matt, offensive-minded Nagy head coach.
Isn't that nuts?
Fired. Gone. See ya. Get out of here.
Yeah, rotoworld.com.
Stop rotoing. Start NBC Sports Edging.
Thank you. Agrees with you. They say that Nagy is fighting for his job in week 4. A loss against the Lions, given the Lions their first win of the season, will absolutely get you canned.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun one to watch. I will have my eye on that one.
And then you bring in Ditka to coach the rest of the year.
You might as well.
You know what I mean? It's a lost year anyway.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, sorry, Bears fans. That sucks.
God,
sucks to suck.
If they can't beat the Lions, you're right.
Bye.
And they don't have a first-round pick next year because they traded it for Fields.
Boy, bye.
Oh, sorry.
Nick Westbrook led the Titans in pass routes in week 3. Westbrook ran a team-high 25 routes with A.J. Brown out and Julio Jones sitting for much of the second half in an effort to manage his workload. Westbrook caught all 4 of his targets for 53 yards and a touchdown as Ryan Tannehill's default number one wideout. He ran 44.4% of his routes from the slot. An undrafted free agent who caught 3 passes for Tennessee in 2020, Westbrook will have some fantasy relevance for as long as Brown is sidelined. In 4 seasons at Indiana, he had 144 receptions for 2,226 yards and 16 touchdowns. A.J. Brown is expected to be considered week to week with his strained hammy and Julio Jones statuses, quote, up in the air, unquote, for week 4 against the Jets due to a leg injury. Jones was held out for much of the second half in the Titans win over the Colts under the guise of load management. Excuse me. Jones was getting treatment for a leg injury just Wednesday, which is today when we're recording. Which is what he likely suffered at some point in week three. Matt. Westy is looking to be one of the top ads.
You're not doing the hyphenated last name, huh?
I couldn't. Westbrook Akine. Do you know how to say it?
I don't.
Well, probably. Akine, probably.
Yeah, Akine.
Akon, I don't know.
I'm calling him NWI for life. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Nick. You want to hit the Renegade music?
No.
You know
is that your Renegade?
He's one of the two.
Okay.
You know how many roster percentages he's on?
I've done that to you 3 weeks in a row.
Okay. It's because you got good taste in Renegade people. He's rostered in less than 5% of leagues. Yeah, he's gonna be the Titans wide receiver one this week. Absolutely. You pick that up and back that thing up.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
Full 90s there. NWO, back that thing up.
So is Nick Westbrook more of a weak fill-in in your mind, or do you think there's a potential that we see a lot more of Westbrook here on out?
I think he's a weak fill-in. He could maybe – A.J. Brown's coming back. Julio Jones is coming back. Those are your big-name guys. Could he play out of slot? Sure. Twitter – was all on the tight end position for the Titans this year. Maybe the slot wide receiver Nick is the guy to have there. But
so how much of our fantasy governor's fab budget should they be spending on Westbrook this week? I'll just start 100%. You tell me that high or low?
That's high. You should probably go less.
80.
Less.
75.
You pick him up if he's free. Or you can get them for like a
50% of my fab budget.
Less.
25%.
Less.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. 10%.
What do you got? You got $100? I'm not.
10%.
I'm not spending a ton on the guy.
In percentages,
he's free right now because he's rostered in less than 5% of leagues.
Yeah, but I think waivers happen every week. I don't know if you've ever played this game before, but people have to put in waiver claims, Matt. They mostly
have fab budgets. I'd put a dollar in.
So 1% of your $100 budget?
Sure. Yeah. I'm not going to crazy on him. We can get into this strategy too. I don't blow a lot of money on fab. Like you're the spend it all early and wait.
Absolutely.
And I'm not. I'll pick people up for free. So I'm not going out and spend. I mean, I picked them up.
What if Westbrook ends up being this year's Travis Fulgham?
He's hot for a few weeks and then gets traded for Saquon
Barkley. Wins you games for a few weeks, yeah. And then it's just completely off. Then you trade him.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think he's a league changer where he's going to be on your roster forever. But
that's all I was looking for there.
Yeah,
that's all I was looking for.
He's good. He'll be okay. Opportunity. Wait, the best ability is opportunity. That's how the saying goes, right?
The best ability is availability.
Opportunity. Yep.
That's not okay. Did you see that? Reminds me. Did you see that quote from Dwight Howard from the NBA presser yesterday, media day?
I thought you were going to say Dwight Schrute from The Office. No. Tell me about Dwight Howard's quote from media day. 60% of the time, we win every time.
You just got to give me one quick second.
That's fine.
It's so he's funny.
He's on the Lakers.
Yeah, he's on the Lakers, just like okay. The rest of like anybody notable that you would, I guess that you would know from like the NBA
from 10 years ago was
is on the Lakers right now.
Shaq came Mello's back.
There. Yeah, Shaq's gonna come back for sure. So Dwight Howard has voiced his opinion on the vaccine before.
Oh, has he? I did not know that.
Yeah, and so at media day, he's apparently changed his heart on it. He's had a change of heart on it. Dwight Howard quote. I've got a lot of opinions on that, but I'm going to keep that private. HIPAA law.
You say HIPAA or HIPPO?
HIPAA.
Okay.
HIPAA law. And so the reporter responds with, that's not what HIPAA is, but okay.
You're saying he said like HIPPO.
So the whole, like, the whole thread, like, all the comments and stuff have been like, just, that's just his response to anything now.
That's not how this works. I saw the, like, in my head, I'm thinking of the old ladies that are on the commercial, and she's like, I'm going to put that on my wall. That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works.
So Dwight, did you get vaccinated? That's my HIPAA. I don't know you. Like,
Dwight, tell me about LeBron in the paint tonight.
That's my HIPAA.
Oh, is he any good? I don't know.
Dwight Howard?
Yeah. Is he like the starting center?
No. Anthony Davis, AD.
Oh, that's right.
The brow. That's your starter. Dwight Howard's nice to fill in, but he's not.
And they running. Got like the Westbrook guy. And
yeah. They got Russ. They got Russ
and Westbrook. The Rondo.
Yep. Rondo's there. Yep. It's a hell of a team. I mean, it's a championship team for, like, it's a lock.
Does Rondo have electrolytes?
I'm kind of excited to see Melo, but see Melo in a Lakers jersey. I think that's gonna be kind of fun. Melo and LeBron, dude. What do you mean? Why? It's Melo and LeBron.
Because it's not the Melo. Like,
he's still got it.
Past prime Melo.
He was in the starting five for the Blazers.
You gotta get Chris Paul, get the whole banana boat crew together. Wasn't that a thing?
Moving on, yeah.
Okay.
44% of Javante, it's like explaining rap music to like my grandfather. 44%.
Give me some M&Ms.
Yeah. 44% of Javante Williams' touches have come in garbage time.
Trash.
20 of Williams' 45 touches have come with Denver's in-game win percentage at 95% or higher per underdog's Hayden Winks, probably. One third of Melvin Gordon's 2021 touches have come in garbage time, the result of Denver destroying their first three opponents by a combined record or a combined score, excuse me, of 76-26. More than his garbage time usage, Williams' goal line fumble against the Jets should be a concern for fantasy managers banking on the rookie taking over Denver's backfield as the season wears on. Williams will have to impress Broncos coaches if he is going to be the team's primary ball carrier at any point in 2021. Matt, I only bring that up because I thought that percentage was telling. But secondly, a lot of fantasy governors really get rookie fever. You know that.
I do.
I think this is one of those times where, like, Melvin Gordon is seriously undervalued, even now.
Yeah.
After having three really solid weeks.
Because they're waiting for it to, like, fall apart.
Yeah, everyone is. And that's just, yeah. And I don't blame them.
And then you can do I told you so's.
If I know the Broncos seem like pretenders because they're 3-0 against bad teams.
Their teams they beat are combined 0-9, but yeah, yes.
And that's completely fair. It's completely fair. But has, like, these three weeks changed your opinion at all on Melvin Gordon for the season?
I like him. I don't think he's an RB1 where he's at. I think he's a low-end RB2, high-end RB3. But I always thought that, and I thought Williams would be higher than Gordon. So, mm-hmm. No, it doesn't change a whole lot. They've played bad teams. No.
Okay.
You're the Broncos fan. What do you think? I mean, I think this Williams is disappointing for you. No,
I think so. I'm not really like, there's a couple teams where I have both of them, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. Williams is not coming near my starting lineup until I see consistency or an injury happen to Melvin Gordon. Like, it's not happening. Melvin Gordon is the guy there. Javonte Williams, they're just easing him in. Until that changes, not interested. When the game is on the line, Melvin Gordon's the guy. One quick Broncos note. Wide receiver KJ Hamler suffered a torn ACL in week 3 and will miss the remainder of the season. Hamler has struggled with injuries through 2 years in the league. He missed 3 games as a rookie with a concussion and a hammy issue and will now log just a trio of games in his second year.
Former Renegade.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate time for the Broncos to lose a wideout as they will be without Jerry Jeudy, who was placed on injured reserve 2 weeks ago, for at least another game. So Judy is dealing with a high ankle sprain and could be out longer than the minimum of 3 games for players who hit the IR. And that leaves, well, Courtland Sutton as the unquestioned wide receiver one in Denver with Tim Patrick starting alongside him. Woo! Patrick posted 98 yards last week and scored in the Broncos' first 2 games of the year. Matt, Courtland Sutton
go get versus Tim Patrick.
The Ravens this week. You like Tim Patrick?
You don't like Tim Patrick?
No, I'm not. I'm not a Tim Patrick guy.
Oh yeah, get Tim Patrick.
I mean, he can't be much.
He's probably the same price as NWI.
Oh my god, I hate that name.
What? Come up with one.
I like Westy. Westbrook works.
Yeah,
Westy's a good name.
It's okay.
Well, you're okay.
I know.
Danny Dimes has attempted a downfield
Stop
pass.
Stop calling him Danny Dimes. It's trash.
Danny Nichols?
Danny trash. Danny backup quarterback next year. The Giants have 2 top 5 picks. They're taking a quarterback. Get out of here.
Danny Currency Jones has attempted a downfield pass on just 5.7% of his 2021 attempts. The lowest rate in the NFL.
This is Clapper offense 101.
It's the same old for Jones and the Giants. Jason Garrett's hyper-conservative passing offense has produced a grand total of 2 passes of more than 20 yards through 3 weeks.
Jason I'm going to read that one more time. A screen pass he doesn't love.
A grand total of 2 pass attempts of more than 20 yards in 3 games. Jones completed 1 of those passes for 38 yards. Now in 2020, Jones had a 9.6% deep throw rate, the 8th lowest in the league. The near total lack of downfield aggression serves as a hard cap on the upside of prized free agent signing Kenny Galladay and Darius Slayton, who left Sunday's game with a potentially serious hamstring injury. Matt, you cannot touch Danny Dimes or really anybody outside of Saquon Barkley on this offense. Am I correct?
You are correct.
I like to hear that. That makes me correct. Feel warm and fuzzy. Remarkable. Just a remarkable turn of events, really.
Gross. He's terrible. They know he's terrible. Get rid of him. Fire the GM that drafted him. Go away.
Well, that's I don't know if that's fair. I think this is more the offense.
A Clapper? No? Get rid of Clapper and see what happens.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like the dude.
Are
only
you a
had
Joe Judge fan? Because I just don't.
I'm not a Joe Judge fan. I'm just saying. I think that's. I don't think it's fair. Like this offense has a history. The coach has a history of having really conservative offenses. How do you only have 2 passes longer than 20 yards? Like attempts.
Because Jason Garrett is terrible.
That's fair.
Terrible.
Yeah, you've said that for a while now.
If you could trade Jason Garrett for Matt Nagy, who wins that trade?
At least Jason Garrett's won before.
Matt Nagy has a Super Bowl ring.
Does he? Did Nagy win a Super Bowl? Kind of.
Didn't he win it with the – he's been to a Super Bowl with the Chiefs.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Or the Eagles. He was one of them.
Getting to the Super Bowl doesn't mean anything. Winning it does.
I think he has a Super Bowl ring.
Getting there just means you get a worse draft pick than everybody else that lost before you.
Matt Nagy was nope. I got nothing. He was in a book, how they're getting Trubisky ready for the Super Bowl.
Moving on, the Seahawks placed tight end Gerald Everett on the reserve COVID list today. This is breaking news. Everett has played 77% of snaps through 3 games and is coming off his best stat line of the season last week in Minnesota when he caught all 5 of his targets for 54 scoreless yards. It's unclear if Everett is vaccinated, but his week 4 status is now in doubt. If Everett misses, Will Disley, remember him? He's going to play a bigger role against the Niners, but I'm not sure if that really matters. Any response from you, Matt?
No, doesn't matter. Tight ends don't matter in Seattle.
Wow.
DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and a little sprinkle of Chris Carson.
We're gonna hit some. Notes here. Russell Gage remains sidelined at Wednesday's practice for the Falcons. Elijah Moore did not practice. He has a concussion issue going on.
That's probably the biggest disappointing rookie wide receiver right now.
Elijah Moore?
Yeah.
That offense is just dreadful.
Ugh.
Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Colts, was limited Wednesday's practice, but he's probably going to play.
I'm not going to talk about Marlon Mack trade rumors.
I don't want to talk Marlon Mack trade. I hate trade rumors. You know that.
I love trade rumors.
Juju Smith-Schuster did not practice Wednesday. That's not good.
Neither are the Steelers.
Yeah, Steelers are bad. Well, Big Ben's terrible.
Who is the starting quarterback for the Steelers next year?
It better not be the backup there that's there now because he's terrible. Who is it?
Are you talking about Dwayne Haskins?
No.
Or are you talking about
the other guy?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. He's awful. Yeah. I have no idea how that dude's still in the NFL.
Aaron Rodgers?
No.
To the Steelers?
Rodgers doesn't want to play in this fucking Pittsburgh. No one wants to play in Pittsburgh.
Who wouldn't want to play with those wide receivers?
They'll draft somebody. Don't you think? They're not going to hand that job to Hoskins or Dobbs or Rudolph.
Mitch Trubisky's a free agent. Teddy Bridgewater's a free agent.
I hate it. When's the last time that the Steelers had a starting quarterback that was a free agent? Like they got that way. Like it feels like they draft their guy.
Yeah, maybe. When's the last time they had a starting quarterback not named Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, he's
like been there 2006.
Been there his entire career, right? I mean, he's 39 years old.
He came in the same draft that Eli and Rivers were in there. So
he shouldn't have came back this year. I know that's easy to say now, but he didn't look good last year either.
No, he did not. Maybe they'll trade for Taysom Hill.
Maybe.
Jameis Winston's a free agent. Actually, that one's not.
I don't hate that one.
That one's not.
I don't hate it. Deontay Johnson did practice today, which is a good sign, obviously. And if Juju's not playing this weekend, that might be huge.
Are we hot taking? Are we DFSing?
I was just about to finish my sentence. I was going to say, let's jump into the Renshaw Renegades. That's all right with you.
I'm getting excited. We already hit one of them, so I guess I only need half the time that we normally have.
Renshaw Renegades. Here we go.
So we hit NWI, right? That's the one. And this one, this name is going to sound familiar, Justin. You're going to know this name. Tyler Conklin. Currently rostered in 29% of leagues. Do you know where he ranks in terms of tight end hierarchy right now?
Tight end's a wasteland past the first.
It absolutely is.
Three guys, but go ahead.
He's tight end 8 right now after one hot week.
Yeah. Okay.
You could see it continuing. I like Conklin. Conklin's a big up 30% of leagues. Should be free. Is a tight end 1 currently. There's no one coming for that share. And the Vikings offense is firing on all cylinders. Give me the Tyler Conklin cog. No?
No, I'll just give you all the cog. I get it.
Give me all the cog.
You're a big cog guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait, who was your guy? Chris Herndon's is going to beat Tyler Conklin.
We're going to talk about it. But right. I'm not going to take that cog. You're nowhere near that cog anymore. I'm out of that cog.
Only 30% of people have that cog right now.
Intriguing. You want to talk a little DFS?
Let's hear it.
Okay. So now, look, I know the Ravens matchup was too good to be true last week. I should have known. The Ravens won, but not without a fight from the Lions. That was my stack of the week. You had to get really creative to make that work out. My value of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, however, worked out pretty nice. Had his best game of the season and cracked 100 yards rushing with a score. My contrarian play of Trevor Lawrence stunk it up per usual, 219 yards, a touch, and two picks. Oh, well, time to move on. It's a different week. NFL is weird this year.
You know what else is weird?
What?
Rise Rashad Bateman, only rostered in 23% of leagues.
That doesn't sound right, Matt.
It's on NFL.
Well,
it's dumb.
I feel like we've used NFL before for like these kind of that kind of stuff, and it's just sometimes very inaccurate. Anyway. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem right. So if he's available, what we're saying is go pick him up.
Absolutely pick that man up.
As far as DFS goes, my playbook, the Minnesota Vikings defense has been very soft at times this season. And this week, they play a high-powered offense in the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are the team to stack this week. It all starts with Baker Mayfield at $6,200. Stack him with a combination of Nick Chubb at $7,000, a great value-priced Odell Beckham Jr. at $5,800, Austin Hooper at $3,700, or hell, you want to get weird? David Njoku, $3,100, always a threat to score this season, especially. Seems like he's actually involved in that offense. It doesn't matter. Do what you got to do, but just stack him. And for value, I'm all over Cortland Sutton at $5,700 at home versus Baltimore. The Broncos are third in the league for pass attempts, and wide receivers around Sutton are dropping like flies. He's going to get all the looks. The entire pass game for the Broncos will go through Sutton and Fant Sunday against the Ravens, who rank 26th in points allowed to wide receivers this season. Moving on to the contrarian play, you're going to hear all about the QB struggles in Chicago this week, and all about the troubles that team is going through. The media will scare DFS casuals away from anything to do with the Bears this week, and I get it. But let's use that to our advantage and bet against the public with the best player on the team, Allen Robinson.
Ooh.
I know Detroit screwed us last week, but I am willing to fade them again here. Robinson priced at $5,800 will have low governorship and has two TD potential, so be sure to sprinkle them in some of your lineups.
It's always nice when you get two TDs.
Absolutely. Two TDs are better than one TD. That's my motto.
That's a good motto.
Yeah. Allen Robinson.
I like Allen Robinson.
That's why I'm kind of hoping for Nick Foles.
You know who doesn't like Nick or Allen Robinson?
Any coach he's ever worked with ever.
Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Matt, let's jump into hot takes. I got a little bit of updates for you.
Yes.
The Falcon. I'll start with mine. I said the Falcons rookie tight end Kyle Pitts was going to break the rookie record for receiving yards by a tight end, which was set in 1961 by Mike Ditka, 1,076 yards. He currently only has 11 catches for 139 yards, so he's going to need a couple of big weeks. Big weeks.
All he needs each week to break that record is 68 yards.
Yeah.
Because the season's longer now.
Right.
Than it was for Ditka.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of knew that when I made that hot take, but them's the rules.
That's right.
Cardinals running back James Conner finishes the season as a top 20 running back. Before this week, he was looking pretty irrelevant. He scored 18 this week. Running back 42 is what that catapulted him to. So
now he's hurt.
Yep, he's a little banged up, but he's going to be fine. I said Sammy Watkins has only cracked 1,000 yards receiving once in his career, and that was in 2015 with the Bills. This season on the run-heavy Ravens, Watkins surpasses that mark. He's currently at 12 catches, 208 yards, and zero tutties. I also said that DK Metcalf scores 20 receiving touchdowns this year. He currently has 16 catches, 220 yards, and two touchdowns. So,
all right.
Yeah, pick up the pace, but still solid. And then I said Cooper Kupp was going to have a career year in receptions at 95 plus and finish the year as a wide receiver one. He is currently the wide receiver one right now. 25 catches, 367 yards, five touchdowns. He stays healthy. That is a slam dunk.
Yeah. Matt,
you want to take yours?
Sure. Zeke finishes as the running back one. He's currently RB8. I think Derrick Henry is running back one right now. And Derrick Henry has had two mediocre weeks and one big, big week. So I'm going to go with the more consistent Zeke. Jonathan Smith finishes as a top five tight end. He's currently tight end 26. That I'm scared for that one. But we all know tight end's a wasteland. So he could have two good weeks and be top five tight end. Matthew Stafford, top 10 quarterback, currently quarterback six, 942 yards, nine touchdowns, one interception. I like that one. That's going to happen. I was down on Trey Sermon. I don't know why everybody was so high on him. I did say Raheem Mostert outscores Trey Sermon. I only think Mostert is trailing Sermon by like 6 points, and he hasn't played. He hasn't played since week one. And Derrick Henry outside the top 12 running backs because I had a Gus Edwards one, and then Gus Edwards died. So,
Jesus.
Sorry, tore his ACL. Whatever, his season's over.
Yeah, so, tomato, tomato, died, tore ACL. Same thing. You're right.
Season's over.
Yeah, I'll remember that next time you get injured. Okay. Oh, you're dead.
Or when I die.
So, Matt, early this season we had some competitive – I don't know, debates, if you will.
Dad debates.
You were, yeah, there you go. Dad debaters.
Wait, dad baits.
I was a big fan of Chris Herndon. You were a big fan of Tyler Conklin. I said there's no way in hell that Conklin outscores Herndon. That one's already, that's already done. I'm already waving the white flag on that one.
Nice.
Chris Herndon is just trash. Just trash.
I know tight ends. Like, that is something that I feel very confident in evaluating.
You must get that from your mother. I said that the Raiders wide receiver one and two combined were going to outscore Waller, which is still a weird one. Right now, Waller leads by 48. Well, leads by four, excuse me. He has 48 points alone. Hunter Renfrow and Henry Ruggs have a combined 44 points. That's still shocking to me.
Your math is really off there.
Yes, it is. You're right.
I'm like, you're
no, you're this right. This one
I still feel confident in.
Renfrow and Ruggs lead. I'm sorry.
Yes, by a lot.
Renfrow has 42, Ruggs has 41, 83 points. Waller has 48. Math. Yeah. Math.
It's hard, I know.
Well, when you're doing all of this on your own, let's say. You said that Zeke was going to finish as a running back one, and I said running back 13 or worse. He's currently running back eight with a line of 44 rushes for 199 yards, three touchdowns, seven catches for 53. So,
yeah,
we'll see how that turns out.
Right, I like there. It.
We both picked our top rookie finishers. For quarterback, I said Mac Jones. You said Justin Fields. Currently, Mac Jones is in the lead. For running back, I said Javonte Williams. You said Najee. And it's not right. I said Devontae Smith for wide receiver. You said Elijah Moore. It's Ja'Marr Chase.
That and seems then, silly now that we didn't have that one.
Yeah. And then, well, there's so much bad press about he can't catch the ball, which was stupid. Yeah, I can't believe we bought into that. And then at tight end, we took the default Kyle Pitts, and there's nobody close, really.
Hey, look at that.
Ah.
We got it.
Oh. Yep. Who the Cowboys play this week, Matt?
Panthers.
The Panthers. 3-0 Panthers, mind you.
Yeah, and the 2-1 Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. What's the spread? You're the gambling man.
You know what? That's a good question. I probably should have had that prepared before I asked that. One moment, please.
Boop, boop, boop. Whatever. I bet Dallas is favored.
Dallas is favored 4.5, according to the Score app.
You know what's scary about that is Carolina has the number one ranked defense right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they just added a cornerback. They lost JC Horn, but they traded for the Jaguars. Hey, a cat trade. The Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback first round pick. I'm blanking on his name, but they traded Dan Arnold and a third round pick and got the cornerback. That defense is scary and the offense is scary. So something's got to give.
The biggest spread of the week is the Bills versus the Texans. Bills are at home. What do you think that that spread is?
9.5.
More.
13.5.
More.
17.
16.5.
I said a half on all of them except for the last
one. Yep. Idiot.
That's a lot of points.
that's a lot of points in an NFL game.
Yes.
Especially for the Bills. The Bills, while they look good, they don't look great.
The Texans don't look awful.
The Texans have looked really awful the last 2 weeks. Week one, they looked amazing. They played out of their minds.
They got Davis Mills, too. I guess if it was Tyrod, give me the Texans. But
yeah, that's a 3-turnover game from Mills. Easy.
You thought that last time, and he didn't turn the ball over once.
I know, son of a bitch. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the Buccaneers but Patriots game this week?
I want to predict it. I don't know if it's been predicted by anybody else, but Tom Brady is going to break the record on a touchdown pass to Gronk in New England.
That's actually a prop bet on DraftKings right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, and I want to say it's pretty good odds.
Brady's going to know, and he's going to do it. That's
the thing. Brady doesn't strike me as the guy that like keeps up with his stats throughout a game. I don't know.
It's only like 60 yards he needs to break the record. First drive, he could do it.
See, they have something in here called the Brady Specials. I thought that was cute.
Gronk's getting at least one touchdown. At least.
You think?
Yes. If he plays, I know he was injured, quote unquote, but the dude has a tendency to play and not practice. Yes, I think Brady's going to break the record on a touchdown pass to Gronk in New England.
Of course, I can't find it. If anybody out there that works at DraftKings is listening, finding bets is sometimes way more difficult than it needs to be. Way more difficult. Anyways, so yeah, there's some kind of bet out there, though, and if I remember correctly, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I'll Venmo you some money to put that down.
Sure, why not? Why not? Let's see. So, yeah, are you going to watch it, though?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Who's not going to watch it? It's Sunday Night Football.
I'm like, yeah, I'm keeping that time open. I don't want to miss that. I wonder how many people are going to put money on the Patriots to win that, though, outright.
Isn't the public money on Tampa?
Has to be. They're a 7-point favorite.
Yeah.
But it's in New England. It's Bill Belichick versus Tom Brady.
Tom Brady versus Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Give me the Bucks.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, Matt. Well, that's all. I just wanted to have a little conversation with you about it. I wanted to talk you up, chew your ear off, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. That's the show. That's it. That's all we're doing today. We're done. Ooh, I'm gonna.
That's all. That was long.
It wasn't that long.
It was a long show.
It was not a long show, you pussy. Okay. All right. So, again, just to remind everybody, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And we will see y'all next week.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, DynastyDads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.